The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall star in Bold Venture. There's a lost ruby on a five-minute mystery and an episode of Afloat with Henry Morgan. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, an episode of Afloat with Henry Morgan and try to solve the case of the missing ruby on a five-minute mystery. Right now, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall star in Bold Venture as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery, adventure, and intrigue.
All right, sailor, Havana, Cuba, where we started from, where we get off, out.
How long can you keep it up, Slade?
Come on, off the boat.
I said, how long can you keep it up? You've been sore ever since we left Key West. So we didn't meet him. So we didn't pick up his cargo.
Look, sailor, a guy named Scarn sends us a wire. He says, meet him in Key West. Move his cargo. I didn't want to go. You wanted to go.
All right. And Mr. Scarn and whatever he wanted us to bring to Havana weren't there. But we had a boat ride to Key West and back. You and me. That's nothing, huh?
Come on, sailor. Let's get off the boat. Here, I'll help you.
I don't need any help. What are you angry about? The money we didn't make?
No, it was time away from Havana. But I didn't have to be away from her.
You talk about Havana like it was a woman.
Do I?
How do you talk about me behind my back?
Walk ahead of me and I'll think of something.
There's your Havana. A cockfight.
Come on, let's take a look, sailor. How's your bloodlust today?
Oh, let's get out of here.
Consider it, sailor. Two birds with steel spurs slashing each other to pieces. Let's pause and cheer.
Come on.
Oh, let's watch for a while. People get to enjoy this sort of thing. Let's find out why.
I don't want to find out why. I'll see you back at Shannon's place.
All right. Okay, let's go.
You get a bang out of watching that?
Well, it gives me a chance to get bitter. Makes me an honest man.
Por favor, senor, senorita.
Huh?
The cockfight disgusts you, eh? See, your tastes are too delicate, or perhaps...
What's this, Slate? A new way to catch the Yankee dollar?
Or perhaps the Yankee merchandise.
The lady asks you what this is, amigo. Who are you?
Permit me to tell you the story of my life. I am a poet.
I guess that's worth a dollar. Give him a dollar, Slate.
What are we, patrons of the arts?
Permit me to refuse the money. Permit me to return to the matter of the Yankee merchandise you have brought. from Key West.
This is a man with a problem, Slate.
You are the people from the boat, the Bold Venture.
We're the people from the boat, the Bold Venture.
Now it rhymes. Nice going, sailor.
Then it is a simple matter. Since you are the people from the boat, it is simple. We will make arrangements for the removal of the merchandise.
Now look, Shelley,
Mario. My name, permit me. That is my name.
Mario, sure. I forgot, my memory's a little shaky.
Mine too.
Hers too. So we're having a tough time remembering what this is all about. Slower reading, huh?
Are you trying to be clever, mi amigo? Or perhaps you have pleasure in tweaking my patience? The merchandise, permit me, but the merchandise. It is a matter of life and death. When shall we remove it from your boat?
The poet only knows one poem, Slate.
Yeah. Wave him goodbye.
A fond farewell, Mario.
But it is a matter. You cannot. The merchandise, it can mean life, it can mean death. You cannot refuse about the merchandise! The merchandise!
If you want to be happy and lead a king's life, never make a pretty woman your wife. Therefore, from a logical point of view, marry a woman uglier than you. A pretty woman makes a husband look small, and then he very often falls his downfall. Therefore, from a logical point of view, marry a woman uglier than you. Ah, Lady Sailor, Mr. Slade, why you come back so soon to King Moses? Because you love me?
Why else, King Moses?
I tell why else. Because on trip to Key West, something sour must have turned more sour. Am I inevitably correct?
You are inevitably correct, King Moses.
You come back to make King Moses sloppy with happiness, Mr. Slate. Therefore, order me about.
Bring us something to eat, King.
Oh, an ecstasy, a joy, a frenzy, a kick.
Bring us something to eat.
Right now, Mr. Slate.
You really do love him, don't you, Slate?
Uh-huh. Like he was my own.
How long does it take for someone to be your own?
Ah, that depends. Ready with the food, King?
Ready. Yours, Mr. Slade. Yours, Lady Sailor. You talk, I smile inside myself. I get my guitar, I got song for you.
Sing it, King.
A lady approach who waits for Slade. A lady so handsome no one can hate. A lady who in hotel did register. A lady who bring joy, maybe despair.
Pardon me, Senor Shannon, but I think perhaps you were looking for me. For Bibi. No, Senor?
Well, I don't know you, but I think perhaps I was looking for you. For Bibi.
Slate.
I want to explain something to you about the hotel business, sailor. I am what is known as a mine host. That comes in two parts. Mine and host. Sit down, Bibi.
That's it. Still you have not answered my question, Senor Shannon. You look for me?
Oh, I look for a lot of things. Why particularly for you?
Because you are the man who brought his boat into port only a little while ago.
Oh, the lady wants a boat ride. Why don't you try the nearest tunnel of love, Miss Bibi?
This is included in the price we must pay for the merchandise?
No, Bibi. I throw that in for free.
Now, wait a minute. You said merchandise, Bibi. Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
Bibi, the gentleman posed a question. Will you answer the gentleman's question?
You know very well what it is we want.
Sure, sure, but let's hear it from your own red lips.
Now I understand. It is a matter of more money, huh? Well, we expected it, and we despise you for it. But we will pay it. I have room 6A. I will wait for you there. But give me 10 minutes to arrange for more money. When I pay your price, there will be no more delay. Is it final? It is final.
Well, the Let's see, 6A, she said.
That's what she said, Slate. That's just what she said.
You know, Sailor, I think I can handle this alone. Why don't you wait for me downstairs, huh?
Because I'm afraid of the dark. I cry in it.
That's what I thought.
Now you know. Slate, that noise. It's already happened to us once today.
Well, maybe the little lady's a bookie for gamecock fights. Hey, let's go.
Slate, look. Look. Her face. Her body.
Yeah. Slashed to ribbons. Slashed to death by a gamecock.
Slate. Oh, Slate.
Now, how do you like Havana, Sailor?
Mr. Slate.
Mr. Slate is wearing out his office floor, King Moses. Tell me, I'll tell him.
The police have made a farewell to the front door, Lady Sailor. They are 5 minutes gone.
Thanks, I'll tell Mr. Slate.
You want anything I can do for the after the police occasion, Lady Sailor? You, Mr. Slate?
No, I'll call if we want anything.
My guitar and me in hammock outside. You open the window and whistle for King Moses if you want something.
Slate? Slate? What are you trying to build? All right. I don't blame you, Slate. I know. It's hard to believe.
What's hard to believe? Beautiful woman killed by a fighting bird. A bird with steel spurs on it.
Now, Slate.
And at my hotel. Girl locked in a room in my hotel with a bird bred to slash for blood. I don't like cops in my place. Cops are for the tourist trade, not...
Is that all that bothers you? The fact that the police were here?
What's it to you what bothers me? I didn't ask for your questions. I didn't ask for you.
All right, Slate, all right.
Kind of a jerk am I, anyhow? A man tells me to take care of his daughter. So I take care of his daughter. You. What am I? Out of my mind? I don't need you hanging around here, Sailor. I don't need anything about you. I got along great before...
Before my father died? What do you want me to do, Slate? Leave?
Well...
Sit down, Slate. You're sweating.
Trick I know. It's hot, so I sweat.
You want me to fan you? I'll fan you. You like me to fan you, Slate? Like this?
Look at you. The way you're dressed. Jeans, the way your hair is. Man has to walk toward you to know you're a woman. Why don't you do something about your hair, Sailor?
What's the matter with it?
Other women with hair like that, they'd...
With hair like what? Like this? You can touch it, Slate. Touch it. Go ahead. Touch it.
Answer the door.
You answer it.
Yeah.
Better meet me.
Hey, it's the poet.
Tell him to come in. He can wave the fan.
An explanation for the events of this afternoon are in order. See?
Hey, well, don't make it tough this time, Mario. What are you trying to tell us?
A tragedy. The killing of the girl Bibi was a tragedy.
Well, what do you know about Bibi?
Bibi was the sister of my wife. She... Please, what time is it?
Hey, look, if you don't...
It's almost 2:30, Mario.
Gracias. Now, permit me. It is very wrong that Bibi is dead. A wrong that is part of an even greater wrong.
So help me
What kind of wrong?
Like so. The merchandise you have brought. Those of us on an island you know, here in the Caribbean, those of us who wait for the guns.
Guns? So that's it. That's the merchandise. Guns.
Precisely. Perhaps there is a better way to purchase human dignity, but we do not know of it. We need those guns.
And you think we have the guns for your revolution?
Of course. Like so. You came with the boat... Permit me, I will answer it. A compatriot I am expecting. He is to meet me here.
Mario! Slate! Help him! He's shot.
Yeah. Yeah, shot dead. Like so.
Friends, you know what happens when you take a fish out of water? Sure, it dies. Well, by Cornelius, the same thing happens when your car's battery runs out of water. It lies right down and quits. No water, no life. So what did the Autolite people do? They made the Autolite stay full battery with an extra large liquid reserve. Gave it more room for more water. Result, the Autolite stay full battery needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use. So friends, be right with Autolite.
Back to Bold Venture, our stars Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
A lady, she come to Shannon's place, a delicate figure and clothes of lace. Then the lady, she died in Shannon's place. A gamecock with spurs, he slash her face. A poet, he came to Mr. Slate, make big apology for being late. He explains his wants to Mr. Slate, but bullied in heart, bring him poor to stay. Mr. Slade, he turned to Lady Sailor. He says, you know...
That's enough, King.
Do I call the police again, Mr. Slade?
No. Two people die in my place, that makes it personal. I like that poet.
You're not always a real tough man, are you, Slade?
I said I like that poet.
And that girl, Beebe?
And that girl, Beebe. What about her?
Did you like her, too?
Well, she had a problem. She came to me for help. She died.
My father said you'd be a man like that.
Why don't you get out of here, Sailor? Why don't you go back to the States? Look at the mess. I'm in it, you're in it. Why don't you leave, Sailor?
You don't know, do you?
Mr. Slate.
Yeah, what do you want, King?
Here are the dead gentleman's papers from his pocket.
Oh, let's have a look. Mario Pavana, 64 Avenado Lorca.
We're going calling, huh, Slate?
When a man like Mario dies, somebody's got to tell somebody because somebody might want to know.
I would. I'd want to know.
Well, let's go to Avenida Lorca, Sailor.
Yes? What is it you want, senor, senorita?
We come to...
Is it about Beebe? My sister, Beebe? If you have come to tell me of her death, it has already been revealed to me.
Well, just a minute, Senora.
I am called Celestine. Will it not be easier for you so?
Yeah, easier. If you're Bibi's sister, then the poet Mario... Mario...
He's my husband. Yes, a poet and a husband. I'm fortunate, am I not? You are friends of Mario's?
Yes, friends. Sailor, I can't do it. You tell her.
Thanks loads. Senora Celestine, your husband...
What is it of my husband? What is it?
He's dead. Okay, Sailor. How long can you take to tell a woman her husband's dead?
He said he was going to the waterfront to write me a verse. Little verse. Who are you? Are you of the police?
We're Mario's friends. We want to find his murderer.
It will not bring him back.
Mario was telling us something before he died. About a revolution. About guns.
Mario was to me a man who loved me. Who wrote little verses for me. Of this other Mario that you speak, I know nothing.
Who would?
Senor Etienne Parada, maybe? Senor Etienne spoke often with Mario, late into the night, while I slept. I would bring them food, and then leave them to talk among men.
Where would we find Senor Etienne?
He has a villa, 17 Avenida Cuarteles. I think there is nothing more for us to say to each other. Adios, friends of Mario.
Come right in, senor, senorita.
Is your name Etienne?
No, senor. I am the butler.
Where's Etienne?
In the auditorium with the rest of the guests. There is a concert. This way. In here. I will leave you. Adios.
Some concert.
That girl, the way she's dancing, Slade. She's wonderful.
Yeah, real authentic.
Am I being rude?
Yes, yes, you are. Can't you see that girl's trying to express herself?
I am your host. My name is Etienne. This way, please.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Celestine called. She told me to expect you.
Did she tell you about her husband?
About Mario? Yes, yes. Did you two kill him?
How's your record, Etienne?
Not flawless, senor. In here, por favor, this room. Pepe!
Hey, what is this? Who is this guy?
These are the ones, Pepe. The man and woman we have been waiting for. Now, senor, you will tell us. Why have you come to Etienne?
Because I don't like my hotel to be loused up with dead bodies. First a girl was killed and a poet. Would you know why?
Yes, yes, I would know why.
Who are you, Etienne? Why should you know so much?
It does not embarrass me to say that I am a patriot. You see, Bibi and Mario were revolutionary. They were killed by our enemies.
This we know.
They were killed to prevent them from taking guns across the Caribbean to our islands. The guns, they thought, were on your boat. We shall proceed without Bibi and Mario.
The man is talking like he's got the guns anyhow, Slate.
See, we have them. They came on another boat, not yours.
Well, use them in good health. Let's go, sailor.
Wait, senor.
I knew it. Peek over your shoulder, Slate.
I just did. Question, what's the caliber of the gun Pepe has in his hand? A 32 or a 38?
Looks like a 32.
It's a 38. You will help us, then.
Help you do what?
We have the guns, you have a boat. It's necessary to have both to get the guns to my island. Besides, I prefer not to have you roaming the streets of Havana until we have disposed of the weapons.
Who wants to roam the streets?
Me, Daddy.
Por favor, senor, move quickly. There is a great need to hurry. You admire the view, senor, eh? This cliff that screams down into the sea, or perhaps senor is afraid of such height. But the view is magnificent, no?
The guns are nice, too.
You have exquisite taste, senor. In guns, in boats, and
In me?
Precisely, senorita.
See how wrong you can be, Slate? The man said that you had...
Get off it, Andy Etienne. What do we play now?
Oh, no play, senor, I assure you. Hard work. Pepe is below in your boat waiting for the guns. You will see that he gets them. Then you will take us to our destination on your exquisite boat.
You mean I lugged them all the way from this cliff down to the boat?
Not quite so hard, senor. You see, we are prepared. A cargo net, winch. You place the guns in the net, then lower them to Pepe. Quick, simple.
Like pie. It'll be like pie, won't it, Slate? I'll help.
No, senorita, no, no. You will simply stand there because you will inspire the senor to magnificent effort. You may begin, senor.
So what happens when we're through here?
You will be killed.
Ask a silly question.
Oh, but it's so easy for you. You have but to die. Me, I have to commit a murder.
My heart bleeds for you.
Thank you, senorita. That's enough, senor, for one load. Lower the winch.
Aquí, Juan. Aquí.
Sí, Celestine.
Celestine.
We're glad you're happy, Celestine.
Yeah, we're glad. Thanks for saving our lives. It was messy, but thanks.
My heart is filled with kindness for you both.
We'll drink to your heart filled with kindness in Havana. Tell your boy to take that gun away and we'll go.
You were so kind to come and tell me of my husband's death. I want to do something gracious for you.
In Shannon's place. Do something gracious for us in Shannon's place.
I will not permit one to kill you. You will die suicides.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Tell us about killing people, Celestine. Were you born that way, or did it come on you all of a sudden?
They tried to make a revolution. You were foolish enough to stumble into it. It is a pity you stumbled into the wrong side.
You and Juan here are the right ones.
You are all alike. Poets, revolutionaries, adventurers. All with the intellect of trained fleas. Bibi, Mario, Etienne, Pepe. Oh, yes. Pepe is dead also. Juan took care of it.
Bibi was your sister. Mario.
They were fools. They are happier dead. Now walk. To the edge of the cliff. Walk.
You happy now, sailor? You real happy?
What?
You came to Havana. You got what you came for, huh? Excitement, romance, a tropic moon, people killed.
You've gone crazy. What are you talking about?
What you wanted, isn't it, sailor? That's why you came to me, because it was empty for a girl like you back there from wherever you came from. Real empty.
Why you...
Don't slap me, sailor. I'll break you in two.
No one. No, do not put your hands on him. Leave them alone. Just keep the gun in his back. They will kill each other.
Sailor, watch it.
You watch it. He's got a gun in your back.
Have a gun in my back.
One! Careful, one! Careful!
The gun.
Get it, sailor. Pick it up. Now you, Celestine.
You let me go. Let me
go. Don't struggle, Celestine. Relax. Enjoy yourself. I'm a tender guy. Oh. I'm taking you back to Havana.
Fool! Take your hands off me. Let me go.
Celestine. Oh. I'm holding you real tight till the Havana police take you away from me.
You hold her that tight, she's not going to be in any condition for the police. So what about Juan?
You got a gun in your hand, haven't you, sailor?
Oh, sure. Sorry. I forgot for a moment.
Well, get with it, sailor. Keep that gun pointed at Juan till we get back to Havana.
Then what?
Then Shannon's place. Better back there. I'll want you with me.
How do you like it, Slate?
Like what?
Dancing with me.
It's all right.
I'm wearing a dress now.
Yeah, I noticed.
And my hair. You like it this way? You like my hair this way, Slate?
Let's get out of here.
I like it here.
Come on, let's go.
Go ahead. I'll find somebody who likes to dance.
I said come on.
Why?
Well, there's a breeze outside.
What's a breeze got to do with it?
I want to see what it does to your hair.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
You are listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY in an episode of Bold Venture, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues, I'm Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Thank you. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, George Edwards stars in a float with Henry Morgan as Morgan assembles his fleet. Right now, try to solve the case of the missing ruby on a five-minute mystery as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Another five-minute mystery.
Inspector Clark speaking. Yes? The Cooper rubies? Where? Blackstone's at 49th. I'll be right over.
Oh, come in, Inspector. Oh, this is terrible, terrible. And to think that we took such precautions. I just can't understand it.
Now, just a moment, Mr. Blackstone. Just calm down a bit and tell me what's happened.
I'll tell you what's happened. One of the Cooper rubies has been stolen. That's what's happened.
I understand that, Mr. Blackstone. But if I could have some information about them.
The Cooper rubies are a group of 15 of the most exquisite stones I have ever had in my possession. This woman, Mrs. Lloyd, came into my shop and asked to see the Cooper rubies.
I wanted to buy one, but I certainly don't now.
I was showing them to her myself. At the same time, I was showing this gentleman, Mr. Williams, some bracelets.
Just a simple little bracelet for my wife, Inspector.
I was interrupted by one of the sales girls. I turned away for just a moment, and when I looked back, one of the rubies was gone. Now I ask you, who other than one of these two could have taken it?
Your assumption is quite sound, Mr. Blackstone. I'm very much afraid I'm going to have to ask you two to be searched.
Why, of all the...
Leave your bag here on the desk. Mr. Blackstone's secretary will assist you in the other room. Mr. Williams, I'll search you in Mr. Blackstone's office. Let's see. Mrs. Lloyd's bag. Compact. Nothing here. Lipstick. No secret compartments.
I hope you're satisfied.
Gloves. Nothing in the pockets. Well, I guess that eliminates you, Mrs. Lloyd. Now, Mr. Williams' things. Nothing in the pockets. Billfold. Comb.
Does that eliminate me, Inspector?
I guess it does, Mr. Williams. Everything seems to be quite in order. Cigarette, Mrs. Lloyd?
No, thank you. I don't smoke.
Williams?
No, thanks. I have my pipe.
Oh, of course. Well, Mr. Blackstone, I've found your precious ruby.
You've what? But I haven't seen it.
No, you haven't seen it, Mr. Blackstone, but I know where it is. Mr. Williams, I arrest you for the theft of the Cooper ruby. How did the inspector discover Eric Williams' theft of the Cooper rubies? Do you know the clue? In a moment, we'll hear more. But first...
Life is swell when you keep well. That's why Post 40% Bran Flakes have become America's largest selling Bran Flakes. Every one-ounce serving of Post 40% Bran Flakes provides bran to help prevent irregularity due to lack of bulk in the diet. They're so delicious tasting and so good for you, too. Tomorrow, serve America's favorite Bran Flakes. Post 40% Bran Flakes.
What Inspector Clark has to say.
But I don't understand. Where is the ruby, Inspector?
Well, Mr. Blackstone, when I asked these two people to submit to be searched, I knew the guilty one would hold out. For a moment, I thought I was licked. We seemed to have all their possessions, yet nothing was evident. Only when I offered Mr. Williams a cigarette did I notice that he was smoking a pipe. Here, Mr. Blackstone, is your ruby concealed in the bowl of this pipe. And now, Mr. Williams, I'd like to show you something in bracelets. A double one, better known as the handcuff.
Come to an end sometime, and the Old Dutch Cleanser Contest comes to an end this coming Saturday at midnight. This is the last week to enter and win a brand new 1948 Ford sedan or a share in the big cash prizes. If you've put it off so far, enter now. If you've entered before, enter again, because your chance of winning is still just as good as anybody else's. And it's so easy to win. All you do is supply a winning last line for this jingle. Listen. For faster cleaning with new ease, just say, new post-war, Old Dutch please, with activated seismatite, ta-ta, 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 ta-ta. Remember, all we want is a last line, something that rhymes with seismatite. Get a pencil and paper handy, and later on I'll give you a sample last line to go by. Just a few minutes' time might win you a brand new super deluxe Ford V8 four-door sedan or a crisp new $10 bill. Somebody's going to win, and it might as well be you. Get your entry in now, tonight. Entries must be postmarked before midnight this coming Saturday. It's your last chance, so get going.
Afloat with Henry Morgan. Sir Thomas Mudford, Governor of Jamaica, has received instructions from England to put down the Caribbean's buccaneers. As he shares part of Henry Morgan's loot, he looks upon this order with disfavor. So he creates Morgan Vice Admiral, with permission to sail as he pleases beyond the shores of Jamaica. One of Spain's ships captures a British merchantman, upon which is traveling Antoinette de Lacy, a kinswoman of Sir Thomas Mudford. Dolores Pizarro, daughter of the Cuban governor Don Pietro, learns that Sir Thomas has never seen Antoinette. So she proposes to her father that she go to Jamaica posing as Antoinette and there lay plans to trap Morgan and also get back her lost fabulous Aztec necklet.
What is this you say, my child? You go to Jamaica, to Port Royal? That is impossible.
No, father. It will be living. Better than rotting my soul away here in Cuba, attending the dull social rounds of the Havana Society.
The way I have arranged things will bring about Morgan's capture. This girl, she is a kinswoman of Sir Thomas Mudford. Although Sir Thomas works hand in glove with Morgan, blood must be thicker than mere business. He knows the fate Antoinette would suffer. Do you think he'll willingly see his own flesh and blood go through that, when he can save her by betraying Morgan?
And does that get my Aztec necklace back?
Oh, that is gone. It is gone. It is silly to even think about it now.
No, it isn't. It is in Jamaica, and I am going to get it back. Listen, Pop, we cannot fail. Sir Thomas has never seen Antoinette de Lacy. All he knows is that she is a kinswoman of his and has come from France. I speak French and English, remember?
No. We will do it my way.
Listen, Father. Sir Thomas Mudford is no fool. Henry Morgan fills his pocket. He is going to hate seeing Morgan go. Sir Thomas Mudford is a clever man. He might trick us so that his kinswoman is returned to him and Morgan goes free. But if I go to Jamaica as the governor's kinswoman, I will mix with the cream of society. I will learn all Morgan's plots, his plans. I will make Morgan my friend.
Even so, how will you, a mere woman, throw him into a Spanish trap?
I have thought of everything. Keep Cortez here in Cuba. Every so often, under cover of night, he approaches the Jamaica shore in a small sloop. I will meet him and tell him what I know of Morgan's plans. When I have finally laid my plans and incidentally got back my necklace, I will leave with Cortez and return knowing what Morgan plans to do. We could easily catch him.
Your plans are reasonable, but there are many pitfalls. We do not know how much Sir Thomas Mudford knows of Antoinette Delacy's family.
She will have to tell us of her life for as long as she can remember.
She might guess our purpose and mislead us.
We will have to take that risk.
No, we will not take any risk. Give her to the Inquisition to question. She is a woman, and under torture she will be only too willing to tell us the truth.
Is that necessary, Father? She is a woman.
Your safety, Dolores, is at stake. Your very life is in danger. It is necessary. You will hear what she has to say.
No. No, I couldn't do that. You have the Inquisition take down her story, and I will learn it by heart.
So, if I consent, how will you get to Jamaica?
I have thought of that, too. Cortez captured the ship. Aboard her is bound to be a longboat. I will sail with Cortez under cover of night almost to the shores of Jamaica, when I will set out in the longboat and make my own way to Port Royal.
And there you will tell them that you managed to escape from the Elizabeth Ann and have only just managed to reach the island.
And why should they doubt my story? The governor will know that Antoinette Delacy was aboard the Elizabeth Ann. He will know by then that it has been captured by a Spanish ship. I arrive in one of the Elizabeth Ann's boats, saying I just managed to escape in the confusion. Wherein will he question my story?
It depends on one thing, Dolores, and I ask you to abide by my decision.
You do not say definitely that I cannot go.
At the moment, no. But my final decision rests on how much we learn from Antoinette's story. It depends on how much information she gives us, which will allow me to believe that you could get away with this masquerade. If you go, it will be because I would dearly love to lay hands on Henry Morgan.
So, Hunter, you've found the Flying Gull?
Yes, Captain. It was not difficult to find. It must be the best-known ship in Port Royal.
I've been paying my respects to the Governor, Sir Thomas Mudford. Know you him?
I've heard of him.
From your tone, I gather it doesn't please you. Don't blame you either, my lad. Don't trust him myself. But I must say that he's in the past given me his protection, and that is something I've needed.
And for that protection, he no doubt collects part of your gains?
Say it, lad. Loot. Loot's the word. Say it. Aye, he does. But tonight he told me of trouble.
Trouble?
Aye, Hunter. It would seem that England's been listening to the whining Spanish. They've gone on their knees to our illustrious Charles II, begging him to sweep the seas of the buccaneers. And he, poor fool, is listening to them. Buccaneers are outlaws in Jamaica, Hunter.
Then you must find other headquarters?
Now, that would not suit Sir Thomas Mudford. He'd lose too much. He's created me vice admiral. And all the buccaneers who care to join with me can come and form a fleet. Those who don't care to join are to be swept from the seas. I'll have to take certain instructions from the governor, curse it, as I trust him not. You know, Hunter, if he had to choose between trouble and me, I'd be the one to be sacrificed.
Then you had best walk warily with His Excellency.
Life's a thing that quickly changes. This very night I berth in Port Royal, and I leave to call upon His Excellency. I'm set upon by two assassins, and you come into my life to save it. I offer you a berth upon a buccaneer ship, and you accept it. And once more the wheel of fortune turns. And instead of being aboard a buccaneer ship, you're now serving under a vice admiral. But we've wasted enough time in talking. I have an order for you, Hunter.
Aye, Captain.
I want you to round up my crew. We sail as soon as possible. There is a British merchantman expected in. We must go and see her and give her safe conduct to Port Royal. The first time I've ever done any legitimate sailing in my life.
Aye, Captain. Where do you advise me to look for the crew?
They're easy enough to find. They'll still be at the place we were earlier this night, the Dolphin Tavern. And hurry, lad. Step lively.
Aye, Captain. I'll have them back aboard in a short time.
A warning before you go. Watch out for Diaz. He's been my right-hand man until now, but I trust him not. Methinks you might be taking his place. You watch him. Watch him carefully.
That's enough, Jorge Diaz. I must be getting back now to attend to the others.
There is no need to do that. You want to leave me now? Oh, you know they are too drunk to want any more liquor. They could not drink anymore. And don't you want to stay here with the arts any longer, eh?
Let go of me, dears, or I shall be angry.
All members of Morgan's crew back to the flying guard at once. Be quick about it, you. No insubordination now. Order to get moving.
Who is that giving orders in Morgan's name? Ah. Oh. Why, it is the fair scoundrel that was here earlier in the night.
There you are, dear. Collect the flying guard at once.
And who are you to think you can give me the orders?
They're not my orders. They're Captain Morgan's. Get moving.
You think I take orders from you? I am the one who gets the orders.
You scum, you'll do as I tell you. Get back to the ship. We're sailing soon.
I'll fix you, you ox.
Look out, he has a knife.
Try that, may, would you?
A hard fist smashes down on Diaz. His body arches, his feet leave the ground. There is a splintering of smashing wood as his body hits a rickety table and lies limply amongst the wreckage. The blade of his knife gleams white on a dirty floor. In the taproom, the sound of talking goes on unceasingly. Most of the customers are too full of rum to investigate, and in any case, the sound of violence is only too common in their ears. On the impact, Kitty's slender hand goes to her mouth to stifle the involuntary cry. Her eyes are fixed on the limp form.
Have you killed him?
He will live to hang yet.
With a gentle gesture, in which there is a certain firmness, Kitty lays her hand on the sleeve of Jeffrey's shirt. Her pressure sends vibrations up his arm, causing a shock of sudden excitement to his heart. He slowly turns to look at her. Her eyes look up into his and hold them in her gaze. The noise of the tavern fades from his ears. All his vision can see is Kitty, Kitty whose eyes are two deep gray pools in which a mirrored longing and a strange, exciting emotion. And suddenly the music stops. He hears the noise of the tavern, the disorder of the room, the cheapness of the woman. And repulsion sweeps over him. Roughly, he pushes her from him, contemptuously wipes his mouth with the back of his hand, bends down and picks up the unconscious Diaz, throws him across his shoulders. Without a word or a look at Kitty, stalks out and through the taproom. Kitty watches him go. The corners of her pretty mouth turn down.
So, I'm good enough for you, stuck-up pig. You spurn me when I offer you what other men I'd kill for. All right, Mr. Hunter. The time will come when I'll have you crawling at my feet, begging from me the smallest favors. And I'll laugh at you. I'll laugh at you and spit in your face.
Listen for the sequence of this heat in the next episode of Afloat with Henry Morgan.
Time was when the sedan chair was considered the height of luxury. When you think of all the places you go and all the things you now do by radio, a sedan chair doesn't seem like much of a luxury at all. Tuned to a radio network like the CBS Radio Network, you can, in a matter of moments, travel to foreign capitals to learn what's happening to individuals or whole nations at a time. Because a network like CBS Radio is made up of many stations, stations like the one you're listening to now, the smartest supper clubs from New York to San Francisco invite you to dance to the music of their big-name bands night after night. Because CBS Radio's vast network facilities extend in every direction, you can laugh with the funniest comedians in Hollywood or on Broadway. Then move on to a serious discussion of space-age problems, and all in the course of an evening. By all means, use that sedan chair if you have one. But if you want to go places fast, take CBS Radio along.
Boo 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 bo
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY. Ella Fitzgerald and the Ray Charles Singers with Smooth Sailing from 1951. George Edwards starred in Afloat with Henry Morgan. And we also heard The Case of the Missing Ruby on A 5-Minute Mystery. This has been the Golden Age of Radio. Classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.